Well, it is great to be here. Really great. You know, I was thinking about this past week, you know, that how I can be most satisfied in life. And I'm thinking that, you know, we are most satisfied when two things happen. One, when we know what we need to do. And two, when we do that which we when we do the things which is needed to be done. All right? That's how we're satisfied. We need both, right? The knowing and the doing. Now, one famous author wrote that the reason why people get burned out is not because they're doing a lot of stuff. The reason why they get burned out is because they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. They don't have a purpose to what they're doing. Conversely, if we know what we're doing, but we don't do it, we get the same results, right? You got to know why you're doing it, and then do what you know that you need to do. And I can relate to this. I was thinking past week here. I was thinking about the Hallelujah Festival. I don't know why it was in my mind. The Hallelujah Festival. You guys remember the Hallelujah Festival that we did? Great time. We got together this church right over here. We opened the church door to the community. A whole bunch of kids comes in and we're playing with them. And you know, it was a beautiful thing. We had a beautiful booth. And the children from the community came out and they were playing and they're winning prizes. And it was just so fun to watch. Our church had a wonderful turnout too. So many people were there. I mean, almost everybody from Forgiven Life showed up to support us. But the problem is that we only had one booth. You guys remember? They only had one booth. And because of that, all the jobs were taken. I didn't know what to do. I was just standing there. You know, I just stood there. You know, I didn't know what to do. I mean, you know, go over here. And so, you know, they were all taken. There was nothing for me to do. So I just stood there and twiddled my thumb. And I felt very, very awkward because I didn't know what to do. I know what I need to do around here for the community, but I didn't know what to do. Well, don't get me wrong. I had fun watching the kids play. I cheered along when the kids break the board. Yay! And I felt joy seeing the church engage the community. It was beautiful. I was proud to be part of such a giving church. I mean, I really was. But I would stand there doing nothing. So you know what I did? I leaned against the wall and held up the wall. That's what I did, you know? You see, we are satisfied when we know what we need to do. And then we do what needed to be done. That's when we're satisfied. And this past week is that very same thing. Is that mine? And this past week is that very same thing. We've been traveling through the Bible to discover what we need to do. And what needed to be done. And we discovered the purpose by which we were created, and the purpose by which we are saved is for one main thing, that we can glorify God. We are here to glorify God. If we do anything besides glorifying God, we have not fulfilled our purpose. And hence the Westminster Catechism wrote, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So from the pages of the Old Testament to the letters of the New Testament, that has been the MO of every single believer. The glory of God. How do we glorify the God? And for the past week, we've been looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 28 to 31. That there are three ways by which we glorify God. In your notes, we already looked at this, but I'm just going to go briefly. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 28 to 31. Three ways by which we glorify God. The first way is that we are to give glory to God by bringing an offering to God. Right? Someone told me one time that repetition is the art of learning. I repeat, repetition is the art of learning. And so we're going to repeat ourselves. We are to give glory by bringing an offering to God. We glorify God when we offer Him sacrifices. When we worship Him. When we glorify Him. This is how we glorify Him. Sam Storm, the president-elect of Evangelical Theological Society, wrote this. I love it. See, worship is not about my enjoyment. It is about my enjoyment of God. It is not about my pleasure or my delight or my satisfaction. It is about my pleasure, my delight, my satisfaction in God. Worship is not simply about glorifying God. It is about glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. That is how we glorify God, by offering up worship to Him. Offering up to Him. And we're not to offer up just any sacrifices that we want. We can't do that. That doesn't please God just to offer any sacrifices. Like Cain of old in Genesis chapter 4, you remember him? How he decided to offer any sacrifice that he want, thinking that would please God, instead of offering a sacrifice that God desired. And what does the Bible say in Genesis chapter 4? It says that for Cain and his offering, God had no regard. God didn't like Cain's offering. God didn't like Cain's sacrifice. See, we can't just offer any sacrifice that we want. That doesn't please God. We have to offer the sacrifice that he desires, that he states. And as we have looked last week and the week before, there are three sacrifices in the New Testament that please God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 to 16, you remember the three sacrifices are the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of doing good, and the sacrifice of sharing. If you want to recall what those are about, you can go back to YouTube and listen to those messages. The second thing that we need to do in order to glorify God is that we need to tremble before God. We are to give glory to God by trembling before God. We glorify God when we fear him. Jerry Bridges of The Navigator noted this. The person who fears God seeks to live all of his life to the glory of God. See, he connects the fear of God and the glory of God together. See, when you read the scripture, you will connect those two together. He wrote, the person who fears God seeks to live all of his life to the glory of God. All the activity of life should be pursued with the aim of glorifying God. We'll talk more about this fearing God in a minute. And third, we are to give glory to God by rejoicing before God. By rejoicing before God. The great American Puritan revivalist Jonathan Edwards wrote this, the end of creation is that creation might glorify God. Now, what is glorifying God? But a rejoicing at the glory he has displayed. Beautiful thought. John Piper, we mentioned last week, I just love this. God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. Glorifying God is to enjoy him, is to rejoice in him, to be glad in him. We'll talk more about that next week. But this week, I want to talk about the second thing, the fear of God. The fear of God. To glorify God is to tremble before God, is to fear God. See, some people think fear is a bad thing. They contrast fear with faith. You ever heard that message? Either you have fear or you have faith. So get rid of your fear by developing more faith. They use scripture passages like 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 to prove their point. There's no fear in love, the Bible states, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. So some people have this wrong notion that fear is wrong. Fear is bad. You shouldn't fear. You should love. The more love you have, the less fear you have. Well, this is a false dichotomy. In other words, it's a false comparison. Fear and faith are not opposite. It is not either you have faith or you have fear. So that one must replace fear by adding faith. That's a false dichotomy. That's not the right thinking. See, fear is not the problem. Fear is neither good nor bad, actually. It's the object of our fear that determines whether it's good or bad. Right? Fear is neither good nor bad, it's the object. In other words, what we are fearing that determines whether that fear is good or that fear is bad. Now, in the Bible, there's only two things that you can fear. Only two. I don't think I ever read that you fear Satan. I don't think I ever read that in the Bible. But there's only two things in the Bible states that you fear. First, you can fear men. But the Bible tells us, do not fear men. In your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Y'all got your Bible, right? I don't hear any page flipping. I mean, where's the page flipping? You know? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Matthew chapter 10. The Bible tells us, do not fear men. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. It says, so have no fear of them. Who's the them? Well, then, if we look at the verse earlier, them are the people who antagonizes you. Them are the people who malign you. Them are the people who persecute you. That's of them. Them are the men. So the Bible tells us, do not fear men. Jump down to verse 31. He states again, fear not, as in fear not men. So the Bible teaches us not to fear men. But what are we then to fear if we are not to fear men? Look at verse 28. Right in between these two, it gives us the true object of our fear. Verse 28, and do not fear those who can kill the body, that is men, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, we do not fear men. What can they do? Well, they can kill the body. Some people are afraid of that. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, there's a little sense by which we're afraid of that. I mean, every single night I do my rounds. Nah. Every single night before I go to bed, I do my rounds. I go to the front, turn on the alarm. I walked around making sure every door is, you know, locked, turn around. And I took Charlie and I put him right in front of the door and, you know, put his bed right there in the floor and I go sleep. You know, he's a guard dog. I mean, you know, he is a guard dog. Yeah, little Charlie. But we do that every night because there's a sense by which we fear men. We fear because they can kill us. They can extinguish our life from this physical existence. That's a general fear. But notice also verse 25. We sometimes fear men because they malign us. Not only can they kill us, but verse 25 states that they malign us. That is, they speak evil of us. They slander us. They defame us. This is also a genuine fear of some people. We don't like people talking bad about us. We don't like people ruining our reputation. How dare you talk bad about me? And so we do all we can to please them. To not, you know, we compromise sometimes our convictions just to please people. Those are two things that we fear men for. But God says, or Jesus rather said, do not fear men, even though they can kill you, even though they malign you. Rather, you need to fear God. You fear the one who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. In other words, fear God because God can not only kill you physically, he can also kill you spiritually. Men can only kill you physically. Man, shit, even Satan can only kill you physically through men. But God is the one who can kill you physically and spiritually. And believe it or not, God does kill people physically. Remember in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira? God mopped them up. The whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah, gone. In Acts chapter 11, you see the man named Herod who tried to steal the glory from God. God would not share his glory with anyone, so God, you know, mopped them up too. God does kill the body. But the more fearful thing is that God can kill the soul in everlasting, soul to hell. So God said, do not fear men, but fear God. Either one, fear God or fear men. Fear in itself is neither good nor bad, but what we fear determines what's good or bad. Do we fear God or do we fear men? If we fear man, bad. If we fear God, very good. In fact, to fear God is to glorify God. How do you glorify God? By fearing God. I want you to look at something here. Turn with me real quick to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. I love the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, the book of Revelation is one of the first books of the Bible I read. And some people don't like it too much, but for some reason I love it. And I bet you've never seen this in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 14, it talks about the gospel of Jesus. See, some people think that fear is not taught in the New Testament. Fear God is not a New Testament concept, that we shouldn't fear God at all. God is love, you know, people will say. You know, God is warm, God is friendly, we shouldn't fear him, we should approach him. They treat Jesus, and sometimes they treat the Father without deference. Sometimes they treat Jesus and the Father with contempt, if you really want to know the truth. I remember reading one book when one guy said that he had the God took him up to heaven. There he walking around heaven. You know, it's not true already. He's walking in heaven. There he saw Jesus. He walked by the lake. There he saw Jesus. And he started wrestling with Jesus. Give him a little knuckle punch at Jesus. Like, are you serious? That's how you treat Jesus? It's a contempt for Jesus. There's no fear of Jesus. There's no fear of the Father. There's no reverence. There's no respect. But then is fear of God taught in the New Testament? And the answer is yes. You should mark this in your Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 14. John the Apostle saw an angel flying above him carrying something. What he's carrying is the eternal gospel, the everlasting gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel means the good news. And please notice the message of the gospel. You want to know the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Here it is in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Please look with me. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Then I, John, saw another angel flying directly overhead with the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. He saw this angel with the eternal gospel, and he's to proclaim this eternal gospel. And what is this proclamation of the eternal gospel? Look at verse 7. He said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the spring of water." That is the message of the eternal gospel. Isn't that interesting? It's okay. I'm not bothered by it. Yeah. First, let me give you two. There's two exhortations of the eternal gospel. Two exhortations. Please note this. First, the gospel exhorts us to fear God. That is a New Testament concept. That is a new covenant teaching. When was the last time you witnessed and tell people you didn't, they need to fear God? No, God is love is usually the message. No. Fear God is the eternal message. See, we Christians focus so much on the gospel being the gospel of love, and it is. But the gospel is also the gospel of fear. We need to fear God. I wonder at times if we focus so much on the love of God that we forget to fear God. And by the way, your homework is to look at some of the evidence to show if you really fear God or not. We say we fear God. Well, your homework, the Forgiven Life section, actually explore on some of the evidence on how we know we are fearing God. It's a very interesting thing right there, if you can do that for homework. One author wrote something, and I really agree with him. Really, really agree with him. He said that the lack of fear of God is the great scandal within the church. The lack of the fear of God is the great scandal within the church. We don't like to teach the fear of God. And because we don't teach the fear of God, there are so many problems within the church because we do not fear God. We're not afraid of God. We're not afraid of the fact that we're living an obedient life. We're not afraid of God when we malign people, when we hurt our brother. We say things like, First John 4:18, perfect love casts out all fear. We got no fear. The more we love, the more we don't have fear. But it's only, as the Bible states, the heathens, the pagans, and the wicked people are the ones who do not fear God. Romans chapter 3:18 states that very thing. It is the wicked people who said they have no fear of God. Not Christian. We should fear God. Now, I note this, worst thing that occurred, you guys remember, President Trump, when he got elected, became president? I'm not here to endorse any politics or anything like that, but I'm here to talk about the Christian attitude and behavior. When President Trump got elected president, if you go to the social media, people were like just pounding. Some people like Trump, some people don't like Trump. I mean, he's a very polarized guy. But what I'm shocked at are Christian writing nasty things to other Christian. They're fighting over social media. They're calling each other, "Oh, you're stupid. Oh, you're a fool." In social media, where everyone can read. Never mind, where the Bible tells us, do not call anyone fear, or else you'd be subject to, hellfire. That's Matthew chapter 5. You call people fear. You're calling other Christians. You start cursing out other Christians. I don't know if you guys read. Maybe it's just my friends. I don't know. But it was just really nasty. And people try to calm down and chime in. They're just attacking each other. And these are Christian attacking Christian in the eyes of everybody. And I wondered to myself, do these people even have fear of God? And right after that post, they post something, oh, love Jesus. Are you serious? There's no fear of God. There's no fear when we treat each other badly. There's no fear of God when we malign one another, when we think badly of each other, when we talk about each other behind our back. There's no fear of God, and hence, that's a great scandal within the church. Why should we fear God? Let me give you two reasons here. One, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, we fear God. To fear God is to glorify God. You see that verse 7? And he, the angel, say with loud voice, fear God and give him glory. Fearing God and glorifying God is the same. When we glorify God, we have to fear him. We need to cultivate an attitude of fear. See, if we are to glorify God, which is our chief end, we need to have the presence of fear in our life, and that requires cultivation. Do we fear God? Do we fear God when we sin? Do we fear God when we think badly or talk badly about other believers? Do we fear God? Because we do, we glorify God. Notice the second reason what fear is. To fear God is to fear the judgment of God. You see that? To fear God is to fear the judgment of God. What are we to fear? We are to fear his judgment. Verse 7 again, fear God and give him glory because, here's the reason why we fear, the hour of his judgment has come. We need to be afraid of his judgment. And that's why when we're not walking in obedience, we should be afraid. When we're not walking in the light that he has given to us, we should be afraid. Because we will be held accountable for that. The Apostle Peter also taught the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. You might want to chat that down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 states this. And did you call him Father? That's a loving, enduring term. If you call him Father, who judges impartially according to each one deed, then conduct yourself with fear throughout your time of exile. See, if we call him Father, if he's truly our Father, then we recognize that he judges us based upon deed. Therefore, we better conduct ourselves with fear. We better fear him. God judges impartially. God judges what we do in this life. Therefore, God, the judgment of God is what brings us to fear. When was the last time you ever thought about the judgment of God? When was the last time when you did something and said, you know what, God's going to judge me on that? That brings fear. And that brings glory to God. See, because fear of God helps us to run away from sin. Proverbs states that very thing. To fear God is to hate sin. Right? Proverbs states that very thing. Let me give you real quick the meaning of fear. I don't have time for this. I'm looking at the time. I'm running out of time. But let me just give you the answer here, what fear is. And if you want my notes, you just email me. And in my notes, it has the full Bible verse and everything. What does it mean to fear God? Number one, to fear God is to reverence God. That's what it means. To stand at awe with God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, 29 states that very thing. To fear God is to reverence God. But second, to fear God is to be afraid of God. See, reverence is one thing, but afraid is another thing. To fear God means we need to be afraid of him. To fear God is to be afraid of the consequences of our disobedience. The fear of God does not incapacitate us, where it frees us. We're not too zeal. Sometimes when we get afraid, we freeze up, right? We don't know what to do. That's not the fear of God. That's the fear of men. We freeze up. But the fear of God actually frees us up to live for him. You got to look at this. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. There's a little play on words here that's kind of interesting here. Yes, fear God is to reverence God, but fear God is also to be afraid of God. And being afraid of God is a good thing. In Exodus chapter 20, 20, Moses is standing at Mount Sinai giving the law. And Moses wrote this. And the text says this. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him
may be before you, that you may not sin. Isn't that interesting? Do not fear, but fear him. You know, do not fear.
God comes to test you. Do not fear the presence of God because he's testing you. He's testing you so to make you more afraid of him. For what purpose? It stays right there. So you may not sin. See, the fear of God stops us from sinning. It frees us from not sinning. Unlike Adam, who ate the fruit and was so afraid he went and hid himself, froze up, the true fear of God frees us off to serve him. And third, the fear of God is not negative but positive. The fear of God is not a negative thing, it's a positive thing. I'm on number three. The fear of God is not a negative thing but a positive thing. And in the notes, I give you a whole bunch of examples on why it is a positive thing, so you can take a look at the notes with that. I want to spend the last few minutes I have looking at how we can cultivate this fear of God. I mean, if fear of God is to glorify God, if fear of God pleases God, if fear of God aids us, to be obedient to God, how can we cultivate that fear of God? Let me give you three ways that the Bible teaches how we can cultivate it. First, we must choose to fear God. We must choose to fear God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28 to 29 states this. Then they will call upon me. He's talking about the wicked. The wicked people call upon me, but I will not answer. They seek me diligently, but will not find me. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the fear of the Lord. See, to fear God is a choice. These wicked people choose not to fear God. But we who want to glorify God, we must first choose to fear God. Second, not only after we choose to fear God, we have to seek to fear God. You see right there, verse 29? These people did not choose to fear God, so guess what they do? They did not seek diligently to find God. So after we choose to fear God, second thing we must do is that we must seek to fear God. And here's the third thing. We must learn to fear God. Fear God is a process of which something we discover and learn. Psalm chapter 86, verse 11 states this. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Untie my heart to fear your name. Isn't that beautiful? Teach me that I may know your truth. Teach me that I may fear your name. The more we know about God, the true God, the more we fear him. So teach me who you really are. And of course, fear is reverence, and then fear is to be afraid. We do it through prayer. Pray. Teach me, Lord. That's what the author did. The Psalms did. Teach me. He's praying. And we do it through studying God's word. Do it through this little forgiveness stuff. You see how I'm just pushing it, you do that. You work at that, By the way, I might one day, hey, notebook check. Walk around, see if you guys are doing that, I'm a teacher. You got to see this too. Psalm 34. You got to flip over to Psalm 34. This is appropriate for all of us. We need to read Psalm 34. And look at verse 11. I love this one. Especially parents, you need to underline this in your Bible, Psalm 34, verse 11. Psalmist records, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? The Psalm 86 says, teach me, Lord, to fear you. Psalm 34 says, you know what? Now that I fear you, I'm going to teach this fear to my children. Are you teaching fear to your children? Are you teaching a healthy reverence of God? Are you teaching a healthy fear of God? Because that's what keeps us walking with him. course, our reading passage today says the same thing, right? What God has required of us, but to fear Him and to teach that fear. Brother and sister, fear is something that we don't like to talk about. Who likes to be afraid? I remember my staff, you know, they're saying, I don't know if my brother can testify this or not, but they're saying that in one of our clinic, there's a, might be a little bit haunted because at you know, when they're there by themselves, they hear things moving, they hear things rolling and so on and so forth, you know, and then when they told me that, I was like, yes, I want to see it, you know, because I want to go over there and, you know, it really has some kind of spirit. I want to cast it out in Jesus' name. I want to confront it, you know, but they were a little afraid. I don't know if that's true or not. You know, I never heard anything. But one of my staff was recounting this, saying that she was there in the morning by herself. All of a sudden, she heard something, like a keyboard. She was so scared and afraid, she ran outside the door and just stood there until someone came. And she walked in. See, a healthy fear, I don't know if that's true or not, to be honest. I never heard anything. I'm there by myself at night. I think she's probably in her mind. But the honest truth is that a healthy fear helps us to run away from that displeases God. That's what we need to teach ourselves and each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us your word. We thank you so much, Father, that that you have opened our eyes, Father, to your word and to your truth. We ask, Father, that as we come before you today, that you would teach us, Lord. Teach us to fear you. Teach us to reverence you. Teach us to know you for who you really are. A great and awesome, a mighty God. Someone whom we love, and at the same time, someone whom we fear. So we ask, Father God, that this week going forward, we may have a total humble respect for you. We thank you, Lord God, so much. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.